given their lives for their country. But now, a lot of people like to take flowers to the graves of their family. And so I was like, so this is a kind of way to remember them. That's what memorial's all about, is remember. And I found lots of them. Do you know any of them? Do you know any more they made? I see this is going to have to be short and sweet here. All right. Jacob, Joshua, Samuel. These are all examples of people who built a memorial of stones for different reasons in the Bible. And one of our biggest memorials that we do every single Sunday morning is something Jesus told us to do. And that's our communion. Jesus said, whenever you do this in memory of me. Yeah? We do that downstairs, don't we? We have our communion and we do it in memory of Jesus and all that he did and all that he was and all that he sacrificed. So, and before we close, just a reminder for our congregation as a whole, school is out, so please watch out for these little munchkins who like to run across parking lots and into the street and that kind of thing. Thank you. Should we have a little prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for our ability to remember those who have sacrificed so much for our country and for Jesus who sacrificed so much for us. Thank you for our children. Help keep them all safe during the summer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's go.
I received word this morning that Gil Gentry's mother, Lois, fell at their home late last night and dislocated her left shoulder. So she is a patient now at Liberty Hospital. So please keep Lois and Gail and Doug in your prayers. Also, congratulations to Lenora and Ken as they celebrate the birth of their first grandchild, Madeline Michelle Rimmert. Congratulations, Lenora. Parents are Nathan and Ashley Rimmert, and they live in Chicago. And so we're so delighted for you all. Lenora, bless you. Others we keep in prayer as we go through this new week. Jill Gregory continues to be at North Kansas City Hospital, but we also remember Larry Pitts, Debbie Bozinski, Suzanne Darling, Lon Anderson, Betty and Jerry Donahue, Joan Hamilton, John Adams, Rihanna Walston, and Lana Witten's granddaughter, Samantha, and Bonnie's son-in-law, Chris, among others that we've been keeping in prayer each and every day. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful God, we offer you praise for the abundance of our blessings every Lord's Day. And on this Sunday before Memorial Day, may we not forget our fallen in military service who have given their utmost to uphold the treasured freedoms that we appreciate as a nation. We remember the 1,354,644 armed service members who have lost their lives in service since the inception of our nation. For these families, we know that Memorial Day holds precious significance as fathers, mothers, siblings, sons and daughters, other relatives and dear friends pause and wonder how their lives would have been shaped if only their loved ones had peacefully come home. We also lift up to you the thousands of families throughout our nation who have lost children, teens, and adult members at the hand of senseless and random killings, as our schools, grocery stores, homes, and places of business continue to appear more like war zones, from Sandy Hook to Buffalo to Uvalde to Columbine. And as each of us go about our daily task, may we never forget the fallen or their loved ones. May we strive all the more to honor those lives lost by upholding qualities of compassion, courtesy, and distinctive citizenship in service to our fellow citizens in our communities, states, and nation. Even as fellow believers in Christ, we recognize that it is only in upholding the Christ-like values that Jesus emulated and encouraged us to follow, that we as followers of Christ truly honor his sacrifice on the cross. To this we all strive, O God, as we especially seek to honor you, our Creator and Sustainer, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we sing Reagan Courtney's hymn in remembrance of me, and as we partake in the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper, we recommit ourselves in thankful service for the sacrifice Christ paid for the remission of our sins. As the composer reminds us, Jesus is saying to us, in remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, look for God. Our communion hymn is number 403, as we sing both stanzas, please. Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Ruth Ann leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we pray that you may still our minds and quiet our hearts as we approach the communion table today. We ask that you draw each one of us into an ever closer fellowship with you as we partake together of the bread and wine in grateful remembrance of what you did for each one of us on Calvary's cross. In Jesus' name we pray.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We do welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
concerning Christ's sacrifice, Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of God. When we come to grips with the depth and breadth of what has been achieved for our benefit, giving our tithes and offerings each Sunday becomes easier, for we find ourselves giving cheerfully and genuine thanksgiving. Bob offers up a word of prayer for us as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, may these tithes, gifts, and offerings be blessed to help those in need and to help your church here at Berry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of scripture texts to share with you this morning. First, from the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men he had chosen and told them, "Go into the Jordan ahead of the covenant box of the Lord your God. Each of you take a stone on your shoulder, one for each of the tribes of Israel. These stones will remind the people of what the Lord has done. In the future, when your children ask what these stones mean to you, you will tell them that the water of the Jordan stopped flowing when the Lord's covenant box crossed the river. And these stones will always remind the people of Israel of what happened here." The men followed Joshua's orders. As the Lord had commanded Joshua, they took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each of the tribes of Israel, carried them to the camping place and put them down there. Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priest carrying the covenant box had stood. And of course, as the version continues, those stones are still there. Then in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, here Paul is writing as he says, "In the same way after the supper," he meaning Jesus, "took the cup and said, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me.'" May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Merciful and loving God, each Sunday morning, and especially on this Sunday before Memorial Day, we remember the sacrifice of the one, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the redemption of our sin and the hope of life eternal. As we also remember the few who paid the ultimate sacrifice of their lives for the preservation of freedoms for the many. In Christ's name, we give thanks as we offer this prayer. Amen. On Memorial Day, Americans engage in a number of recreational activities with family and friends. In fact, I think after listening to the news, we're talking about 70-odd million of the 300, nearly 50 million folks across the country are actually traveling in one way, shape, or another, by car or plane. I never heard how many are going by boat. But planes and cars, that's always lifted up. 70 million people going hither, thither, and yon. And we become so occupied with doing things for ourselves that we easily forget that the origin and purpose of this holiday we call Memorial Day was actually that of what was called Decoration Day. In past decades, even Decoration Day has usually been marked mostly with the flowering of graves of loved ones. When I first started ministry in the summer of 1977, that's now been 45 years ago, gosh, I remember the folks at the church talking about Decoration Day was coming. And I, you know, coming from a metropolitan area, had no idea, what on earth is Decoration Day? Well, yeah, that's when we go and decorate all the graves of our loved ones. And people were very busy in that church community going about decorating the graves of loved ones on Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is also often mixed up with Veterans Day, as those who served in military service are often honored on both national holidays. But Memorial Day was first observed not as a day of recreation. It was a solemn occasion. Its sole purpose was to remember those who lost their lives in service to our country. The first Memorial Day was on the 30th of May in 1868. As even Kathy mentioned this morning to the children, General John A. Long declared that first Decoration Day, as it was called, at Arlington National Cemetery as a day to remember the fallen of the Civil War. During the Civil War, so many soldiers lost their lives that it became impossible to return the bodies of the fallen to their home states, towns, or churches, as had been the custom during the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812. Rather, soldiers' bodies were interred in places near where they died. As early as 1862, in places like Mill Springs, Kentucky, or near Army hospitals like that of Keokuk, Iowa, and other points of troop concentration like that of Alexandria, Virginia. Battlefields where great loss was experienced on both sides became cemeteries, and the fallen were laid out in an orderly fashion according to the regiments and states for whom they fought. Some of these battlefields are familiar to us. We have heard of Gettysburg and Vicksburg, for example. By the third year of the Civil War, the increasing number of fatalities was outpacing the burial capacity of Washington, D.C. cemeteries. And to meet this demand, 200 acres of Arlington Plantation was set aside as a military cemetery, with the first burial taking place on the 13th of May in the year 1863 for Private William Chrisman of Pennsylvania. Arlington National Cemetery was established, and yet also by the end of the Civil War, there were 30 national cemeteries created. And so many others have been added since then, because we now remember more than 1.3 million men and women who have lost their lives in service to our nation from 1775, start of that Revolutionary War, to the present day. For those of us who actually have loved ones buried in national cemeteries, and even as some of us even qualify to be buried in national cemeteries, there is a sense that one's loved ones belong to more than just the family. Instead, they belong to the nation and a cause for a greater good. To remember and to honor the greater good is the reason why many memorials were established in years past and are still being created in our time. In ancient times, stones were often set on one end, or they were stacked up to mark memorial occasions. Why? Well, because when people would pass by a location, they would obviously note that there was something unusual about that stone. Stones just don't get set up on end by themselves. It takes human effort. And so it was an easy way to create a memorial, standing stones. The Bible talks on several occasions about standing stones. And they were especially important in remembering God's divine intervention into the affairs of humanity. You remember that after his dream of on what was called Jacob's ladder, Jacob awoke and set the stone he had been using as a pillow on end as a memorial. Genesis chapter 28 tells us that he then poured olive oil on it to dedicate it to God. He named the place Bethel, which means house of God. With these stones set on end or stacked up, anyone passing would know that they were observing was not a natural phenomena. It was an opportunity to tell and retell the story of God's intervention into humanity's existence at that very spot. And we think of that in terms of the national cemeteries. So many of the men who actually died in the Civil War were buried where? At the places where they died. Going back to the scriptures, though, in the Old Testament text from Joshua chapter 4, the Hebrew people are instructed to set up standing stones on the spot where God parted the rushing floodwaters of the Jordan River so that the second generation of the Hebrew nation could pass on dry ground into the promised land as they followed the Ark of the Covenant, carried by those courageous priests who so faithfully stepped into that rushing water, not knowing whether they would drown or be saved by the power of God's intervention. As Joshua said of the 12 rounded river stones, one for each of the 12 tribes, collected and stacked together on the shoreline at the campsite in this new land, Joshua chapter 4, verse 6 says, "These stones will remind the people of what the Lord has done. In the future, when your children ask what these stones mean to you, you will tell them that the water of the Jordan stopped flowing when the Lord's covenant box crossed the river. These stones will always remind the people of Israel of what happened here." Now, we set up our own standing stones even today in hopes that we too will never forget, but rather will always truly remember that which is most precious to us. A father named Solomon sits on a bench in a quiet little park in Capertino, California, and he reads his Bible. Every once in a while, he glances up at a bronze statue. Of these Sunday morning occasions, Solomon says, it brings me peace. But peace is not what Solomon always feels, because the bronze statue commemorates the death of his then 28-year-old son, James, and 11 other Navy SEALs who were killed on the 28th of June, 2005 in Afghanistan during the most deadly event experienced by the Navy SEALs since the inception of the elite fighting force in 1962. James and his family were very proud of his accomplishment of being accepted into the SEALs, mindful that because of the stringent training, less than 25% of applicants make it to the end of training, and they are assigned some of the most dangerous missions tasked to members of the armed services. But as Solomon reminisces about the life of his son, he says while looking at the statue, "With every passing year, I miss him more, and my sadness seems to grow." It is in our sadness that we can never forget those who have lost their lives. An ultimate sacrifice paid so that the freedoms of speech, assembly, and religious practice may flourish in our land. It is in our sadness that we wish that evil forces could be abolished, that the loss of life may never again be necessary to protect and defend against forces that strive to destroy. And by golly, the Ukrainian people certainly know that today, do they not? And as you and I are gathered in this house of worship on this Sunday morning, the day before Memorial Day, we have a great reason to remember another kind of standing stone. For the cross of Christ adorns many a sanctuary as a current standing stone, if you will, set up to remind the young and the old that an ultimate price was paid by one for the many. Early on in the Catholic Church, crosses were and still are today adorned with images of the suffering Christ. During a time when few parishioners could read the stories of God's intervention into human affairs, were told through the images and artwork that adorned the interiors of sanctuaries. As the Protestant side of the church came into being, it was decided that the cross should be empty, giving credence to the fact that Christ was victorious over death as he arose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. But even the empty cross still serves as a bold reminder of the sacrifice Christ made for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. As Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, "And we know that our old being has been put to death with Christ on his cross in order that the power of the sinful self might be destroyed, so that we should no longer be the slaves of sin." Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend, a time for fun and leisurely activities with family, members, and friends. But more importantly, Memorial Day weekend is a time to truly remember the payment of the ultimate sacrifice. Today, there is a small banner you may see from time to time, although not as prevalent now as it was when we were actively engaged in a wartime circumstance. It has a white background with a broad red border on all four sides. In the center of the white field is a simple gold star. The gold star represents a fallen soldier or airman who has lost his or her life in the service of this country. If you ever see one displayed on the back of a car, in a window, on a dress or a lapel, express your thanks, for it can only be displayed by a mother or father whose child has given the ultimate sacrifice of his or her life in the defense of this nation that affords us the privileges of such great freedoms as our expression of speech, press, and religion. And the next time you wear a cross around your neck, pin one on your lapel, or hang one on the wall of your home, remember, it isn't just some ornate decoration. It was stained by the blood of our Lord Jesus. It is the symbol or the standing stone of an ultimate sacrifice offered centuries ago, so that we may be blessed with the privilege of the gift of eternal life. That's why on Sunday mornings, even as we lift up the cup of the Lord's Supper, we remember Jesus' words from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. And whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend, time when a lot of folks are off and traveling and visiting family and friends and doing all kinds of recreational activities. But this day, and especially tomorrow, Memorial Day, Decoration Day, is a day to offer thanks and to remember the fallen. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today can be your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way. I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to hymn number 595, Be Thou My Vision, stanzas 1 and 4, please. Thank you so much for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you and your loved ones the very best this Memorial weekend. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, for the abundance of gifts we receive every day, we give thanks, and may we live lives that honor your graciousness and indeed the gift of salvation that we have in Christ. Guide us as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.